I pray that I speak to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Some of you may know that bishops, when they sign their name, place a cross in front of it. This made one of my fellow colleagues here comment recently, "Those bishops always putting a plus in front of themselves, it should be a minus." Well, bashing a bishop is a common sport in the Church of England and can often be a bit unfair. However, this week, the bishops have come in for a lot of criticism following a so-called pastoral statement on civil partnerships. This was prompted by the legal change that now allows couples of opposite sex to enter civil partnerships as well as same-sex couples. I'll let you read it, should you wish to, see what you make of it. But the criticisms are many and varied. The main criticism, however, and one I certainly add my own voice to, is that in the statement's 1,600 words, the word love doesn't appear once. That's quite an achievement, to be able to talk about the human relationships that matter, commitment, stability, without once mentioning love. It's even stranger when you consider that love is so central to the Christian worldview. In fact, it's where we're told we discover God. God is love, and those who live in love live in God, and God lives in them, to quote the Bible. When those disciples were called to follow Jesus, what exactly was it they thought they were following? I suspect they had little idea in all their initial enthusiasm, but it was soon to become clear they were following a way of love. Now, saying that can make you blush today, because love has been made the thing for teen magazines, for Hollywood blockbusters, for ghastly programs set on an island. It has become little more than sexually charged emotional intensity. And we've been submerged by bucket loads of this most damaging, illiterate sentimentality. How do you retrieve that word, love, from the sugar bath it drowns in, from the adverts and movies, where it's often very enticing, probably short-lived, and non-committal? That project of retrieving love in all its beauty and wonder, but also its sacrifice, is urgent, and especially for the Christian. Because we know that love is caught up with the soul. If one dies, the other dies. We know that we are loved into life, and that we're healed by being loved, and that the one we acclaim as Lord is the one who shows in word and life that love is the closest we ever get to a meaning in life. It's the nearest thing we have to God's reflection. C.S. Lewis once said of someone he knew, "She lived for others, and you could tell the others by their hunted expression." I'm not talking this morning about piety or wrapping up our own neediness in philanthropy. I'm talking about the love that Jesus preached, that those brothers decided to follow. And what does it look like, that love, in practice? Well, it was the love that dared touch the diseased, the love that invited the outcast to supper, who lifted up the lowly and stood firmly beside the marginalized. It was the love that picked up bread to feed and a bowl of water to wash. It was a love that wouldn't scapegoat or condemn in others what we secretly long for. It wouldn't play control games, but always took the side of those who were outside the structures. It was a love that saw the person and not the label, who could hear the deep cry within rather than the gossip. And it was a love that took the risk to forgive, the love that stood up for prostitutes in front of priests, that accepted people as they were, and then loved them so much that they would become more. This is a love that we can barely believe, so cynical have we become. And that love also must include the love that is personally faithful, the love that is so often seen very close up in marriages and in partnerships, in opposite sex and same-sex couples, in young, in old. That love that helps hold lives together, if you're fortunate to find it, and if you're looking. Christian faith will teach you nothing. It will change nothing in you or in the world. It will bring you nothing, nor enable nothing, unless you take this love to be its heartbeat. And that's why, for all the sermonizing on it, the best sermons are found in people's lives and the humbling, sacrificial ways people can live beyond themselves and who change the lives around them in the process. The church survives and is enabled in its work by the rich diversity of all its members, straight, gay, women, men, and families are beautiful in the many different ways they can take shape against all the odds stacked against them. Follow me, says Christ, because yes, God is love, and those who live in love live in God, and God lives in them.